Today's study is titled Mary Magdalene. Once again, we have the opportunity to celebrate Easter. But I ask myself, what are we celebrating? It is an enjoyable time to relax and see the daffodils and spring flowers glowing in the warm sunshine. But Easter is rooted in the Christian faith. It is a celebration reminding us of Jesus coming to earth to die a traumatic death to pay for our sins. But just as important to remember Jesus triumphantly rose again from the dead, overcoming the power of death. For Jesus' followers, it was such a traumatic experience. They had lost their leader who they hoped had come to earth to restore Israel under God's authority. But we know that it was not in God's timing. It is still to take place. We read a little of what took place at the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. During that supper time, Jesus confided with the disciples what was about to transpire. During his conversation, Jesus said in John 12:27, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say?" Then Jesus made a quick, pleaful prayer up to his Father. "Father, save me from this hour." Jesus, who is part of the Trinity, is the Son of God. They, together with the Holy Spirit, created the universe. Jesus, after his time ministering to the people, when facing the soldiers and Jewish leaders, had the power to eliminate all those who were about to spitefully mistreat him. But because of his love for mankind, was willing to give up his own life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of all mankind. Why was Jesus so troubled? He knew that in a matter of hours, while in the Garden of Gethsemane under the hours of darkness, pleading with his Father in prayer to save him from what was about to happen, knew that the Jewish leaders would come and arrest Jesus, falsely accusing him, beating him, pressing a crown of thorns on his head, dressing him in a scarlet robe in mockery as a king, then brutally piercing his hands and his feet with nails, hanging him on a cross to die. Isaiah vividly portrays why he suffered. We read in Isaiah 53:5-6, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." We, all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I am reminded of a song which says, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." All mankind are born with a sinful nature, which separates us from a holy God. By asking Jesus to forgive us those past sins which we have committed and acknowledging that Jesus died for us, by Jesus taking on himself the punishment for our sins and inviting him into our life, we will be reconciled to God. We were all born as orphans, but by inviting him into our lives, asking for his forgiveness, we become true children of God. We read in Matthew 27:55, that while Jesus was hanging on the cross, many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. We also read in John 19:25-27, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Notice many of the women stood at a distance, but Mary Magdalene with Jesus' mother were close to the cross. Mary Magdalene was so grateful for what Jesus had done for her. We read in Luke 8:1-3, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 apostles were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been cast out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. We have a Christian friend who, with the influence of her mother, dealt in the occult and dabbled in the use of tarot cards. When she realised what a controlling influence it had on her life and saw many demons manifested within her mind and spirit through dabbling with the tarot cards, and saw what she was doing was so wrong, sought help from mature Christians who had the gift of delivering folk from occult worship and turning them to Jesus. As she prayerfully sought in her heart and mind to focus her mind on the cross and ask Jesus into her life, many demons crowded her spirit and mind like a black shadow, and she sought the opportunity to be free from these demons. Then, sitting with Christians who sat with her, praying and commanding these demons to go in the powerful name of Jesus, the demons went as she prayerfully came to the cross and asked for repentance. Because of that powerful name, the demons left her. She was able to reach out to Jesus when she arrived at the foot of the cross. She was desperate to experience in her heart and spirit from Jesus, for Jesus to hug her. Jesus did indeed hug her. She felt a warmth and loving embrace which consumed her whole body, an experience that no other person could give her. She became a child of God. She was forgiven. She became a strong follower of Jesus like Mary Magdalene. She knows one day she will see Jesus in person. The apostles recorded an example of a woman who was possessed by demons who was a fortune teller. We read how Paul addressed this situation in Acts 16:16-18. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money from her own owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. The Bible is very clear about anyone dabbling in these evil practices. We read in Deuteronomy 18:10-12, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughters in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord." Mary Magdalene and Jesus' faithful followers would have been so bereft and so miss the company and rich, wise, encouraging words Jesus regularly shared with all the people he met each day. The day after Jesus was crucified was Saturday. It was the Sabbath day of rest, where no one was permitted to work or do anything. They had to wait till the first day of the week to visit the body of Jesus. Each one of us have experienced sitting at the bedside of a loved one who is close to death. We feel helpless, unable to do anything. We just have to keep vigil till our loved one has passed away. When we do lose a loved one, the world stops. We're consumed with grief. It stops us all we would normally be doing. Our mind is consumed with all that is with all that has happened. Mary Magdalene, a devout follower of Jesus, greatly mourned his loss. She could not wait for the third day after he died, after the Sabbath day, so with the other ladies, she could visit the tomb with spices to embalm his body. We read John's account of what happened in John 20, 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and their disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the straps of linen lying there, as well as the cloth which had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary, outside the tomb crying, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary Magdalene, already grieving over Jesus, was so shocked and upset to see the mouth of the tomb open with a heavy stone rolled away and the body of Jesus no longer inside. Mary Magdalene broke down with grief and began to weep, bending over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said, in a quiet, warm, loving tone in his voice, Mary, she was overjoyed. Her relationship with Jesus was restored. As a Christian, how close are we to Jesus? Are we familiar with the voice of Jesus? Do we know and recognize his voice? Is it something we have cultivated through reading God's word, the Bible, and praying with him? We need to know the voice of Jesus speaking to us in other ways. We need to look for signs in our everyday life, which we will recognize that Jesus is conveying a message to us. And through those circumstances, seeking to reassure us, he is with us and wanting to help and encourage. When I'm having a difficult time and things begin to overwhelm me, I often send up a silent prayer to Jesus and ask him to keep up close to me. As he has promised, he will answer and help me. God spoke reassuring words to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. When God answers our prayers, it often is not how we would expect him to answer us. Often it happens through someone who will come alongside us at the right moment to help or encourage us. It may be when I read a verse in the Bible that completely sums up the circumstances I'm in. I get that assurance that Jesus is there encouraging me. Occasionally, it comes through seeing something in nature, a flower, a bird, an insect, which is unusual and rare to see, which we have a particular interest in, part of God's wonderful creation. He wants to show you and reassure you. Throughout the world, folk are becoming more and more disillusioned at the decline in mankind's behaviour, the integrity of society, and the many natural disasters which are happening on the earth. Seems everywhere things seem to be crumbling at a mega pace. Folk are fearful of what could or may happen. They long for someone to bring stability and lasting good to our planet. Jesus commanded the Christian church to go and tell folk that Jesus is the only answer. He can become our friend. Like Mary, who stood disillusioned by the tomb, Mary called out to him. You also can call out to him. Ask him into your life. He will give you a new heart, give you a new start, and become your friend. There has been a growing interest by folk purchasing Bibles and discovering for themselves the true meaning of life. Through reading the Bible, God will show you what his plans are for mankind, both now and into the future. The New Testament tells us how Jesus came into the world and the purpose for dying for us and the way we can come to him, as Mary Magdalene did, to become a follower and a child of God. Mary experienced Jesus in person. Jesus is today appearing in person through visions, particularly to folk in Iran who are desperate, wanting to be free from the tyranny of Islamic law. Jesus is appearing to many folk as a person in bright white light. He lovingly speaks to them, telling them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Many who have seen visions of Jesus have become followers of Jesus in spite of the perils and possible death once they become his followers. When the Islamic regime started in 1979, there were only 500 Christians living around. Today, it is estimated that there are now over 1 million Christians living in the country, of which it is estimated that 25% have become Christians with meeting Jesus through visions. As we experience the warm spring sunshine and admire the beauty of the spring flowers, we also can experience the warmth of God's love in our hearts and see the beauty of creation in a new way, as never seen before, by following him into our lives. The hymn writer has penned these words: "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose."